Tonight, how many of you are saved and know you're on your way to heaven? Raise your hand. Hold it up just for a second. Hold it up just for a second. You're saved, you know for sure you're on your way to heaven. Okay, thank you. You can put your hand down. Tonight, I'm going to preach what I would put in the category of a very practical message. I believe that everything that's in the Bible is there on purpose. There's not a word, not a verse, not a phrase, not a sentence, not a chapter, not a book that's not there, because God wants it all there. He put it all there. And you read in chapter 28 about Paul gathering a bundle of sticks. A very insignificant thing. Very small act. And you might say, well, why would God? I mean, if God, you say, well, he had to gather those sticks, so he put them on a fire so that snake would bite him. So everybody could, you know, and we'll talk about it in a minute, that provided an opening so he could witness to the people on the island. But God could have just as easily had him go over and warm his hands by the fire and that snake come up and bite him on the hand and accomplish the same thing. So, you know, the fact that he was gathering sticks, that he was picking up sticks, that he was picking up wood to add to the fire is a significant thing. It's something that God put in the Bible for a purpose. He wanted it there, and the Holy Spirit put it there. So there must be some truth or some lesson for us today that in the fact that Paul was picking up sticks. And so tonight, I want to mention, and there's probably more, you could probably think of more if I gave you the opportunity, but I want to mention seven things. Seven things that I think we can learn from Paul picking up sticks on this cold and rainy night on this beach, on this island of Melita that we know as Malta today. And so I was thinking as I was talking to my mom, I try to call her every day, and I was talking to my mom on the way to church tonight. I told her what I preached about this morning, and I told her what I preached about tonight, and I said, yep, everybody's really getting their money's worth today because they had 5 points this morning, seven tonight, that's 12 altogether. That's the equivalent of four sermons, okay? All compressed into two. And she said, well, Jesus said, and she always tells me, she says, well, don't go too long. Don't go too long. I said, no, don't worry, Ma. So picking up sticks, seven things I think we can learn from it. Number one, I think we can learn that God wants us to be the master of our circumstances. He does not want circumstances to master us. Of course, we know that the book of Acts was written by Dr. Luke. And he was not only the recorder, but he was an eyewitness of the things that that went on. And most of you know the story, but some of you might not. So let me just remind you what was going on, what was going on in Acts chapter 28 and how Paul got on that island. The Bible says that he was the prisoner of Jesus Christ. Now, he was actually in Rome under Roman guard. He was on his way to Rome to stand trial before Caesar, but he never recognized his bondage to an emperor. He called himself a slave of Jesus Christ. He calls himself the prisoner of Jesus Christ, but he was on his way, and again, he didn't know what was going to happen in Rome. He didn't know if he was going to be in jail for the rest of his life. He didn't know if he was going to be killed. And if you go back and read in Acts chapter 27, you know that it was not a smooth trip. In fact, Paul warned the men on the ship. There were 276 of them all together. He said, I don't think we should go. They had started on their trip, and they got to another place where ships sometimes spent the hurricane season. And Paul said, I think we ought to stay here. And because it wasn't as a nice a port as another port, everybody else decided, no, we're going to go on. And as they went on, a storm came up. It was a hurricane. They called it Eurocodine. And for 2 weeks, this ship was tossed in this storm. And in the last part of chapter 27, they They discovered this island of Melita. Again, we know it as Malta today. And they raised the sails. They drove the ship into the beach. And the front part got stuck into a little creek or a little river that went into the island. And they grounded the ship there. And then the waves were still beating. And it broke the ship apart. And it says in chapter 27, what people want to do, they said, well, let's kill all the prisoners. But it says in chapter 27, verse 43, but the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land, and the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. And again, every word in the Bible is important. That little word all, A-L-L, is important because the night before, an angel of God had come to Paul and guaranteed Paul that everybody on the ship was going to be saved. The ship would be broken apart, but there would be no person. Not one person would lose their life. And so as they made their way to the island, they all made it safe. And so it was cold, it was raining, they were soaking wet, chilled to the bone. And what was Paul doing? Well, the Bible says that the islanders, in their kindness, had started a fire to warm people up, to dry them out. And the Apostle Paul was out gathering up sticks to add to the fire. And what he was saying, here's what I think he was saying. He was saying, I'm a prisoner, yes. I'm not on a missionary journey anymore because I am a prisoner, yes. I've been in a storm, yes. I've been in a shipwreck, yes. I'm cold and I'm wet and you'd probably say miserable. But what he said was, my circumstances are not going to master me. I am going to master my circumstances, and I'm going to go get some more wood to add to this fire. The word circumstances comes from a Latin word, which means things that stand around us. And too many times, even we as Christians, let circumstances master us. They set our course. They decide how we're going to feel. They decide, whether we're happy or sad, or whether we're on top or we're on the bottom. And again, if you look at Paul's circumstances, I mean, some of you were complaining because the heater in your car wasn't working as well this morning as it should, and you were a little chilly when you got to church. Can you imagine being in the middle of a hurricane on a sailing ship for 2 weeks, and then that ship crashing, and you're cold and you're wet, you're on a beach trying to get warm around a fire? Most of us would say, this is terrible. Or as a little donkey Eeyore in Winnie the Pooh, woe is me. Woe is me. And yet Paul said, not me. Circumstances, you are not going to master me. I am going to master you. I'm not going to sit here on the beach and feel sorry for myself. I'm not going to sit here and say all is lost. I'm not going to sit here and say woe is me. I'm going to go out and gather wood. I'm going to make this fire bigger so I can get warmer quicker. And you can put all sorts of obstacles up around me and try to get me down, but it's not going to happen. You are not going to master me. I am going to master you. He wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. And we need to be careful. We need to learn this lesson from Paul. Yes, sometimes circumstances come into our life and they box us in. And they try to get us. And tonight we can learn from this apostle out on the beach picking up sticks that we can master our circumstances, that we can say, no, you're not going to take me. You're not going to get me down. You're not going to get me feeling sorry for myself. I am going to go out and do something that will help other people. And see, he was out picking up sticks. And again, I mean, just imagine, The storm's still blowing. It's still raining. It's still cold. But I can just see this little guy, Paul. I can see him as he goes along the beach and it picks up a stick here and picks up a stick here and picks up a stick here, goes over and puts it on the fire, picks up a stick here. But he wasn't going to get down. He wasn't going to feel sorry for himself. And if we could just, I mean, I could just preach the rest of the night on this one point. I got six more. I'm going to give you the whole load. But I just let me stop and park here for a second. Too many of us, when circumstances come into our life, I mean, it's like the bottom has dropped out. I mean, God's just given us another opportunity to trust Him. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, you can let circumstances, you know, box you in and pin you down and get you depressed and say, woe is me. Or you can say like the Apostle Paul, not me. God's got me on this beach for a purpose. He's got a plan. He knows what He's doing. Yeah, I may be cold and it may be raining and the storm may still be raging, but I can still have a good time. I'm going to go out and pick me up some sticks and I'm going to get that fire raging and warm so all these people on the beach can get dried out and warm. And so we can be the master of our circumstances as opposed to them mastering us. Because we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. So, he mastered his circumstances. Number two, I want you to note his humility. Here was the Apostle Paul, the author used by the Holy Spirit to write half the New Testament. Okay, half the New Testament. The one that preached to the philosophers on Athens Hill. The one that was the apostle chosen by Christ, the apostle to the Gentiles. The one that was a church starter. The one that was a preacher. The one that was a great missionary. You and I wouldn't be here tonight if it wasn't for the Apostle Paul. He brought the gospel to the part of the world that led to the spread to us. And you would think, I mean, you would look at, I mean, what's he doing? This is the Apostle Paul. Surely there were 276 people in the ship. Surely there was somebody else beside this one who was used greatly by God. Surely there was somebody else in this ship that could go out and pick up sticks and put them on the fire. I mean, it's somebody that wasn't as important as the Apostle Paul. Somebody that wasn't used as much by God as the Apostle Paul. But he's out there picking up sticks. In Philippians chapter 2, he wrote, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant." Jonathan Edwards once said, "Nothing gets a soul so much out of the devil's reach as true humility." Nothing gets a soul out of the devil's reach as much as true humility. I read a story about George Washington. He was a general. He was leading the Continental Army, and he was out with one of his friends one day just relaxing, and they had their horses, and they were jumping walls, and the last horse over, I don't know if it was General Washington's or the friend that he was with, but they jumped over a stone wall, and the last horse over knocked over some of the stones on the wall. And they stopped, and General Washington said to his friend, "We need to go back and fix that wall. One of our horses knocked the stones off the wall." And his friend said, "Well, you're a general. They can get somebody else to fix the wall." And the story goes that after they split up, General Washington went back and started putting the stones back on the wall. And the owner of the fence came out and said, "General Washington, you're too big a man to do something like that." And General Washington said, "Nope, I'm just the right size. I am just the right size." Humility. Humility. we might want to say to Paul, Paul, you're too important. You're too big to be picking up sticks. And Paul would say the same thing. Oh, no, I'm just the right size. Let me just tell you something tonight. There's none of us too big that we can't do anything that God puts in our path. You know, I'm grateful for the group of men that God has put in this church. I'm especially grateful for those that get together on Friday morning and help us clean. There's not a one of them. I mean, some of them are deacons, some of our trustees, Sunday school teachers, and yet they'll run vacuums. And thank you, ladies, for all the training that you've given them. They know how to do that. But they run vacuums, and they wash windows, and they clean toilets, and they swing mops, and there's not a one of them that think they're too important to do anything. And I'm glad that God's given us a group of men like that. So I just encourage you tonight. There's nothing that takes you out of the devil's grasp like true humility. If you see something that needs to be done, just do it. You're not too big for it. Again, we can look at the apostle. And this guy wrote half the New Testament. He was a missionary. And yet, he's picking up sticks. Now, if he could do that, there's nothing that you and I shouldn't be willing to do either. So he was a master of circumstances. He was humble. Number three, in picking up sticks, he was an example of service for others. Example of service. Doing things that perhaps are unpleasant. Doing things that perhaps are insignificant. You know, I doubt that Paul even noticed that Dr. Luke was watching him. I doubt that Paul, you know, looked back and saw Dr. Luke. I don't know if Luke made notes. I know the Holy Spirit dictated the Bible, but he was still an eyewitness. But Dr. Luke noticed. I mean, here was the Apostle Paul. He's out there picking up sticks, serving others. And the example that he was to the people on the beach that night, the example that he is to us, he wouldn't do it to get noticed. He didn't say, well, I'm going to go out and pick up sticks, so when Luke writes the book of Acts, he'll put in that 28th chapter that I was picking up sticks. He didn't do it for that reason. He did because it needed to be done. He did because he needed some more wood for the fire. Wasn't a big job. Wasn't going to bring him a lot of praise. Wasn't going to bring him a lot of glory. But it was a job that needed to be done, and so Paul did it. And it's in those little things that we do for others. It's those little things of service that we do for others that are not only rewarding to our souls, but they are an example to others of what service is all about. Amen? I mean, an example to others of what service is all about. And so, here's what I tell you tonight as I finish up this point. Every single one of us, there are little things that we do in our life. For the most part, we think nobody's going to notice this. Nobody's going to see that I do this. And I would just remind you tonight, you don't know who's watching. You don't know who's watching. Sometimes your children watch and you don't know they're watching. Sometimes your parents watch and you don't know they're watching. Sometimes your friends are watching and you don't know they're watching. Sometimes people that you don't even know are watching you do those little things of service to others. And you know, sometimes those little things are the things that mean the most. they mean the most. And so Paul was an example to us of what it is to serve others. Number four, picking up sticks, adding the sticks to the fire. He's an example of a person that continued what somebody else started. The islanders started the fire. We don't know their names. But because of their kindness and because the people were cold and wet, they made a fire. They gathered the first initial batch of wood. They got it burning. But Paul was out there picking up sticks, and he was doing his part to keep the fire going. Fire had been lit by others, but his job, as an example to us, was to go out, pick up sticks, and keep the fire going. How many of our charter members are here tonight? Larry and Bev, charter members. Chris is probably somewhere in the nursery. Amy, I think you are a charter member, and Angie's a charter member. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, okay? Out of, I think, how many were there? Larry, 37? 37. Yeah, charter members, 37. So 5 out of 37, which is still a pretty good number after 23, 24 years. But you can still sit down. Of course, these two were kind of young, so they probably don't remember much. But you can sit down with Larry and Bev, and you can sit down with Chris, and you can hear, and they'll talk about it if you ask them, but you can hear the vision they had when they started this church. You can listen to the things that they had to do to start it. They can talk to you about how they prayed and how they struggled and how they followed the Lord's leadership in doing it. Now, the rest of us can take an example from Paul tonight. They started the fire. We can add to it. They started the wood burning. We can add to it. Every single one of us have the responsibility to go out and pick up sticks and throw the sticks on the fire and keep the flame burning bright. Like Lydia saying, we are a family. And the Spirit is the one that lights us up. And we come to this place, and here's what we do. We just sort of fan that fire. Not to put it out, to make it bigger. Now we take some wood and throw on it to make it bigger so that you'll burn brighter as you go out into this world and let your light so shine before men that they can see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And we have that responsibility to each other. I'm grateful for the charter members that are still here. I'm grateful that they started this church. But every single one of us have a responsibility to keep wood on the fire. Keep the fire burning bright. Number five, as Paul gathered sticks, again, I might be repeating myself, but I want to say it a different way. He was helping others. There were 275 other people on the beach that night that were cold and wet. They all wanted to get around the fire. They all wanted to be warm. And Paul was doing his part to help them. He wrote in the book of Philippians, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. He wrote in the book of Ephesians, be ye kind one to another. He wrote in the book of Galatians, by love serve one another. Again, in the book of Galatians, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And again in Galatians chapter 6, as we have therefore opportunities, let us do good unto all men. And we as Christians have the responsibility not just to speak the words, but to do the deeds. In the book of James, the Bible says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. And so we see somebody that's hungry, we see somebody that's cold, and we send them away and said, well, the Lord give you what you need. And when we have stuff that they need and we don't give it to them, what the Bible says, what does it profit? It doesn't profit. You see somebody cold and say, well, I'll pray for you. If you see somebody hungry and say, I'll pray for you, what the Bible says, that doesn't do them any good. They're still cold and they're still hungry. What does them good is, hey, I'll pray for you. Here's a coat. Hey, I'll pray for you. Here's a can of beans. Hey, I'll pray for you. Here's some money to go out and get what you need. And faith without works is dead. And so Paul said, hey, I can go pick up sticks. I can help somebody get warm. Number six, gotta hurry. Notice as he was serving others, he exposed himself to danger. He went over and put those pile of sticks on the fire, and this poisonous snake came out and latched on his hand. Okay? All the people of the island knew what kind of snake it was, and they said, uh-huh, this guy's probably a murderer. He escaped getting drowned, but now God has, in his justice, caused a snake to come up out of the fire, and he's going to die. He's going to get what he deserves. I mean, again, he escaped the sea, but God's going to make sure that he pays for his crime because the snake is going to kill him. And I can just see him. They're all sitting there watching him. Yep, pretty soon he's going to start to swell up. He's going to get big, and he's just going to fall down dead. I can just say, Martha, go get the kids. They got to see this. You know, like that guy. The guy that went, you remember that story? A guy that went to work for the railroad? His station master was out there and saying, I got to give you a test before I decide if I'm going to hire you or not. He says, let's say you're standing out here in the train yard and you see a train coming on this one track going this way 60 miles an hour and you see this other train coming on the same track going 50 miles an hour. What would you do? And the guy thought for a minute and he said, I'd start to holler as loud as I can. RC, RC, come here. And the train station master looked at him and said, you do what? There's a train coming on this one track 60 miles an hour this way, and there's another train coming on that same track 50 miles an hour this way. What would you do? He said, I'd holler as loud as I can. RC, RC. And the station master said, well, what good would that do? The guy said, well, it wouldn't do any good, but my friend RC ain't never seen a train crash like that. And I can see these guys. Martha, go call the kids. They ain't never seen a guy fall down dead like this. Get them out here so they can see it. And they looked and they looked and they looked and they looked and nothing happened. I guarantee you, when you start serving other people, there's all sorts of snakes going to come out of the fire. There'll be the snake of opposition. There'll be the snake of criticism. There'll be I got another one. The snake of jealousy. You see, you start serving God, the devil's going to get upset. He didn't want you to do it. And he'll bring all sorts of opposition. Now, here's another lesson we can learn from Paul. He didn't fight venom with venom. He just shook it off. When somebody criticizes you, you know what you need to do? That's all you need to do. You don't need to push back on them. Just shake it off. When somebody gets jealous, you don't need to, you know, fight fire. Just shake it off. Just shake it off. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is that verse in Psalm 119. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You have to work really hard to offend me. Really, really hard. I know some people said, he's just so stupid, he don't understand what you're saying. Just shake it off. Sometimes I'll have people call me and they'll try to tell me what other people says. And I say, I don't want to hear it. Don't tell me. And they won't see me, but I'll be doing like this. Just shake it off. Shake it off. That's what Paul did. And then number seven, through his example of service, Paul was put in a position where he could preach to the people of that island and see many of them come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. When he didn't die, people said, he's a god. He wasn't a god. But he was a Christian who loved the Lord and a Christian who knew what it was to serve others. And he got hooked up with the guy that ran the island. He got to go in and heal his dad. And as a result, he got to preach. And many, many people came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. You see, the small, insignificant things that we do when we think nobody else is watching, when we're going to get no recognition and no glory out of it, are the things that many times God uses to touch other people's hearts and opens them up that we can witness to and we can tell them about our Savior. You know, if you're here tonight and you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, let me tell you, He loves you. He does. He went to the cross and He took all your sins and He paid for every one of your sins. Every one. And just like Larissa did last night, every single one of us that have not asked Jesus to be our Savior need to do the same thing. And again, I think everybody, except maybe for a couple small children, raised their hands. You know Jesus tonight. And I'm so glad you do. But make sure. Make sure. If you're not sure, the Bible says you can be sure. These things are written that ye may know that ye have eternal life. And it's a wonderful thing to know that you're on your way to heaven. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight, for your word. Thank you for the lessons that we can learn from this man, Paul. And I pray that we'd be busy and not let circumstances get us, but Father, we'd be out picking up sticks and we'd be serving others and you would open doors so that we could tell other people about Jesus Christ. Again, I pray if there's one here tonight that doesn't know Jesus, that they would ask him to save them. I pray that you would speak to Christians. And Holy Spirit, if you've spoken to them tonight and they need to do something, I pray you'll help them do it. Maybe there's somebody here that needs to come and say, hey, I need to get baptized. Or maybe there's somebody here tonight that says, hey, the Lord's leading me to join this church and I need to be obedient. And so I just pray you'll speak to our hearts and that we'll be obedient and do what you tell us to do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.